Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Dolo White Podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. Follow Cinema Anywhere Nashville on Instagram and book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience today. Hey, it's Dolo White, and this is the Dolo White Podcast. No live, not for real estate. My net worth would be some bullshit. I find real estate unique in the sense that you can buy a house, live in that house, and it makes you money. I don't know too many other things that are both useful and a good investment. Now, full disclosure, I have been burned in a real estate deal before, and it's because I didn't have anyone at the table to represent me and help me fully understand what it was I was signing and getting into. And that's where my guest today comes in. My guest is William Wilson of William Wilson Homes right here in Nashville, Tennessee. Now, full disclosure, William and I have been friends for a long time, and we were friends during a period in both of our lives that would probably be best described as ratchet debauchery. Having said that, we're now fully grown men with families and lives that involve much less alcohol, still some, just much less. Now, William and I cover a lot in this episode, including first-time home ownership, credit, racism, and everything in between. So sit back and take some financial advice from two people who you may or may not have seen throw up in public. Welcome to the Dolo White Podcast.
Polo Gini. Live.
Yeah, what's up?
This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though.
Right here.
A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat-out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else.
Yeah.
It's the Dolo White Podcast.
Episode 54 now of the Dolo White Podcast. My guest today, real estate expert William Wilson. What's good, bro?
How you doing, brother?
Just full disclosure, Will and I have known each other for a very long time. When I told my wife, Kenya, that I had you on the podcast today, she said, oh, you guys are going to have to act like grownups for a little while. I was
at
like,
least
yeah.
For 30 minutes.
But I think it's a good segue because I think both of us have made one grown-up decision in our life, and that has been in real estate, which is what we're talking about today, because I know like a lot of my net worth is with the two houses that I own, and if I didn't own those houses, I would be in some shit right now. But luckily I do, and everything is all good. But
that's the benefits of it.
Yeah, and so I know that you've been in real estate for a while now, and I thought this would be a good time to come on and talk about home ownership.
Perfect, man.
Yeah, let's do it. So what's the number one misconception you see, especially from like first-time buyers, when they're like, I want to buy a home, but I don't think I can. What's that?
Everybody thinks you got to put down 20% to buy a house.
Right.
Who the hell has 20% just laying around? You know what I mean? That's a lot of damn money.
Yeah.
So everybody thinks you got to have 20%. Everybody thinks your credit has to be in the sevens. That's the biggest misconception. Everybody that comes to me is like, hey, I don't have 20%. What can I do?
Right.
But your loan's substantially less.
Right. And especially like now, because I remember when I first started looking at houses many, many years ago, I think like 150 would get you a nice house. Yeah. And that's not true anymore. You're looking at like 400 or 500. And so like you talk about 20%, you're talking about 100 grand.
Facts.
Who has 100 grand cash just laying around just to throw it down on it? Exactly. So there are all kinds of assistance programs for down payments. I think, I don't know if this is still true, but I know back in 2012 when I bought the house that we now use as a rental house, I think it was like 3.5% is what I put down.
Yeah.
That's still,
it's actually, you have four kind of loans. You have, FHA loan, conventional, and a USDA loan. You got VA. But the one you're talking about, that's a FHA loan.
Okay.
So you put down 3.5%. For example, you buy a $200,000 house, you put down $7,000. That's, you know, that's feasible.
Yes, that's doable.
That's much
you can
more
do
feasible
that.
Than 20%.
Yeah.
You can put down 3% conventional, you know, put down $6,000.
Okay.
But then another part that people don't understand is you have closing costs too. So it's two sides to that, right?
Right.
You got closing costs, which normally about $6,000. So I say $200,000 house, you're looking like $12,000.
A lot of times you can roll those closing costs into the loan, though. And so instead of paying $6K out of pocket, you're paying, you know, five extra dollars a month, whatever it is.
Correct. Sometimes some lenders do that. It's my job, really. I try to get the closing costs for the seller to pay for you. In this market lately, it's been hard to sell to get that.
Yeah, this market is, let's talk about this market, because this market is, saw the other day, I actually screenshot it and sent it to you, the rental house that I was talking about, the one we use as a rental house now, a house across the street from it, going for a lot more money than I ever thought I'd see out of the, out of the rental house. Yeah. And so things are crazy. Do you think they're going to stay this way for a while, or is this?
Nah, I would say, so if Fed's supposed to raise interest rates the end of next year, especially in the 2023, it's going to push a lot of buyers out of the market. Everybody's approved right now.
Right.
So if you have, you know, a 1.8, 1.9 interest rate, you're going to get approved for a mortgage loan.
Right.
But the part that's about to get crazy is the interest rates are about to go to threes, fours, possibly.
Right.
And that's going to push a lot of buyers out of the market. So I tell my sellers, like, now is a great time to maximize your profit. If you want to sell, this is the high point right now. In the last couple months.
Do you think the interest rates will ever drop back down to where they are now? Or do you think this is...
Honestly, man, probably. It really depends. I mean, hell, we could have a war. Yeah. Anything could happen. Aliens could come. Yeah. I mean, nobody can really predict that. It's like stocks.
Right.
Like, nobody really can for sure say, hey, this is what's going to happen. Now, you can forecast it, of course, but it's going to be hard, I would say, to predict that.
So you would say that the reason that houses are going for so much is because of the low interest rates right now?
And low inventory. COVID killed like lumber, everything, like materials. Mm-hmm. It's no homes anymore. It's basic supply and demand. It's no homes left. Like, it's no cribs. It's no homes anywhere. Like, so if you have, you know, you got two homes and you got 1,000 buyers, you can just demand your price.
Yeah. So you're saying I should sell both of my houses right now.
But this is the hard part. You can sell your cribs, but where are you going to go? Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, that's the part. Like, are you going to rent? Like, one of my buddies, his house is probably worth like 1.1 right now. He got it. He bought it at 500K.
Wow.
But I'm like, yo, where are you going to? Because you're used to a lifestyle once you've been living like that. Where are you going? You know what I mean? So now he's just like, look, he's only going to have to downgrade substantially, because his same house, he would have to pay probably two to live where he wants to live downtown.
Right.
He lives out in Brentwood right now. Right. So it's just like, yeah, you could sell. But the key is refining right now, too. Refi and pull your cash out. Open up a business, get you an investment property, something of that nature.
You can do that now fairly easily, especially. And even you could pull money out of your house and still like end up dropping what you pay every month, because the rates are so low right now. Is it harder? Is this harder for first-time buyers right now because prices are so high, or is it easier because everything's so low, because the interest rates are so low?
That's a really good question. It's actually harder right now for first-time buyers to jump in the game, unless you're in, I would say, using Nashville, Clarksville as an example. Mm-hmm. Clarksville, the demand is not as high. I've lost a lot of offers in multiple offer situations in Clarksville. I'm not saying it's not, but it's not as competitive.
Right.
You know? So if you have a $200,000 buyer, a lot of first-time home buyers get approved for, you know, 150 to like low threes. You know what I mean? That area right there is packed with approved people. So if I take an approved buyer that's like 175K, you probably got like 13, 14 offers coming in.
Wow.
So unless you hit, you know, a small city, new builds are really good for first-time buyers. I always tell my people, a new build is beautiful. You can move in. You got warranties on the place. Everything is new. You know, your HVAC, hot water heater, electric, plumbing, you're going to get a solid 10 plus years out of those.
Right.
You need to have cash reserves always when you buy a house, but you don't have to have as many when you buy a new build. So new builds are solid for first time home buyers.
Okay.
I always tell them that. New builds are beautiful.
Finding a new build in budget is
new builds hard as hell to find.
Right now is crazy, because I know that, like, especially like for people trying to buy, they'll come in. You have a lot of buyers right now for whatever reason that have cash and that can offer $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 over.
Correct.
How's that, bro? You all right? I know that's tough.
Well, honestly, man, I actually had one of those buyers. I had a guy come from Cali, and I suggested a price. He told me, offer 50K cash over that. And I was like, bro, are you serious? He was like, I don't care. Now, I told him, I was like, bro, look, this is certainly way over appraisal value, but it doesn't matter, because he was like, look, I'm going to live here for the next 20 years.
Right.
Market to equal out. So, I mean, in some cases, that's good. But it kills the market in a sense that the buyers have to now pay that high price.
Right.
So that's what Zillow is happening to Zillow right now. I got a townhome in Antioch I rent out.
Okay.
I bought that for $200K. Zillow came in and bought it at $265, but listed it again at $330. So basically, every little home in my little townhome complex out there can demand a $330 price. Now, we didn't sell at that. Now, Zillow is just like, it's a shit show now.
Right.
So now they dropped it back down to like $280.
Right.
But still, like, Zillow was really going to ruin a game doing shit like that. That's really counterproductive. That's horrible for buyers. Like,
okay.
That's a horrible scenario because you're raising the market value on homes substantially, and that's pushing a lot of first-time home buyers out of the game. You know, and wow. you know how important home ownership is to building wealth.
Yes.
And that kills a lot of people. So really, that's kind of like a flip side of gentrification. It's like a corporate gentrification.
Yeah.
More so than, you know, your average everyday predatory buyer.
I'm glad you brought up gentrification because I think a couple years ago, I know you had somebody, she inherited her grandmother's mm-hmm. house.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot what the builder was trying to pay her for, but you guys ended up getting her like $400 cash for her grandmother's house.
They were giving her like $200. But the thing is, that's crazy because imagine growing up with, you know, maybe $1,500 max in your
right.
bank account. If somebody drops a bag off $70K cash, like, hey, get out.
Yeah.
Although your home may be worth $400K.
Right.
So that's the hard part. Like, that's really what gentrification is to me. It's a lot of predatory systems out there, but it's like, that's shitty.
Yeah.
You know, that's horrible. Like, that's completely unethical. Is it illegal? Nah, it's not. But you're just basically screwing people over.
Yeah.
For financial gain, which is just...
You said 70. I think a lot of places were much less than that, $20,000, $30,000 for these houses that were in quote-unquote bad neighborhoods or bad areas of town that they've now built up.
Facts.
But if you had more people like yourself, you know, to go to bat for people. So if you inherit that house, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Call somebody.
Facts. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
Because you're probably sitting on a lot more.
Really don't even sell it. If you're in a nice part of town, if you see a Publix coming in your neighborhood, I always tell people that you see Publix and people jogging like free, like keep hold of that house. You know, that's a good investment. You know, refi, pull that out. Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you need to do. But speaking back to the gentrification part, Nashville is like shaped by that, you know, like from the I-40 thing that back in the day, like that is. A lot of people don't even know that.
Yeah. And they brought what he's referring to is back in, I want to say, the 60s or the 70s, when they put I-40 through the black part of Nashville. That was a thriving black neighborhood, businesses.
It was Jefferson Street.
Yeah. It was Jefferson Street area. There was thriving businesses,
it was
everything.
650. They wiped out 80% of black business in Nashville. It was 60 years ago. It was 650 homes, over 130 black businesses, and 28 apartment buildings.
Wow.
66 years ago. So the crazy thing is, imagine that growth over 60 years.
Yeah.
That would have stayed in Jefferson Street 37208. Imagine that growth, that wealth.
Yeah.
That was just wiped out. So here's another thing.
It's eminent domain is what they used to take that from.
Yeah,
so they basically just said, your house is our house now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
All of it. Shit, business, everything. Commercial, residential.
There should be reparations for that.
Bro, like, and the crazy thing is it is, because if you project that, you know, you can project like, hey, if you go to Green Hills, right? And you say, hey, look, if I would have just shit on Green Hills 66 years ago, what kind of damages would that do to that neighborhood?
Right.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
You know, and it's awful. And here's another part of that, too. It's back to the redlining stuff. The effects from redlining, you know, they stopped redlining in 1968, the Fair Housing Act.
Mm.
And if y'all don't know what redlining is, basically banks didn't give loans to people. They put lines around the map, red lines. It was like, if you win that red line, we're not giving you a home loan.
Right. And if you're black.
And in that red line was black people.
Right.
So like inside of that box was black people.
Okay.
So a good example of that, 37205 was then considered like your best neighborhood when redlining, right?
Okay.
37208 was in your worst. So like average home, see, this is like, 50 years later. Average home going 37205 today is $700K. Average home going in, considered the worst, 37208 is $281,000.
Wow.
So that's the difference.
Yeah.
That's 60 years of shit show. Something does need to be corrected with that.
No, absolutely.
Because you wipe out generational wealth for a lot of people.
Yeah.
A whole lot of people. And when people always talk about pull yourself up by your bootstraps, yeah, you know, you can, but like there's a dynamic there that was put in place six decades ago that really did put a lot of hurdles in a lot of people's.
I think it was Martin Luther King Jr. that said, I forgot the word he used, but he's basically like, you can't tell a bootless man to pull himself up by his bootstraps.
Yeah.
And that always sticks with me every time I hear
that's very
the bootstraps.
True.
Yeah.
They took boots off a lot of people.
Yeah.
It really took the boots off and cut their feet off too.
Yeah.
And was like, run with us.
Yeah.
Like, it's, how? Like, shit. Like, that's, that pisses me off a lot.
I wanted to ask you about this, too, because I know I've had some questionable appraisals in my life dealing with property, but I think it was last year a video went viral of a young lady. She had her appraisal done, and she's a black woman, and then it didn't come back to what she wanted. She had it redone and had, you know, took all her pictures off the wall, put pictures up of her, a white friend. A white friend stood in for her during the appraisal, and the appraisal went like crazy, skyrocketed up.
Yeah.
Is that something you guys see a lot? It's still to this day, because you think 2021, that can't happen. That fucking happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, that really happened.
So it really depends. And you gotta look at it like this. Your average age of an appraiser is over 58 years old, right?
Wow.
So you're looking at a demographic of people that may not be the most open-minded. You're right. So like, and of course, you know, of course there are a lot of good people out there.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Go ahead and give the disclaimer.
But it's a lot that's not.
Yeah.
So yeah, it happened to my mother even. She got her house appraised. Bro, I helped her buy her house like, what, 2018?
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Dude basically said it was worth less last year than when she bought it, because she was refined. She was taking advantage of the market. And we had to call this guy like, bro, what the hell is wrong with you? Like, are you an idiot? Like, and he went back out there and, you know, appraised it correctly after that. But it happens literally all the time. And the crazy part about this, bro, is that I do tell my black people sometimes, this world is crazy. Take your pictures off the wall sometimes if you're getting your house appraised, because you really don't know how this appraiser's energy is going to be when you come in. Like, you don't know. And if you want to maximize a return profit, that's some shit that we shouldn't have to do. But that's like, sometimes it's like an unspoken rule.
Yeah, it's crazy, because like, I remember growing up where I grew up in Clayton County, Georgia, which was, when I was young, a predominantly white area of Atlanta. Everybody, it was white flight. All the white people. And now Clayton County is basically all black at this point. You know what I'm saying? And I remember those stereotypes when I was a kid. I heard people in my neighborhood say, you know, if a black person moves in this neighborhood, we got to move out, because it's going to, our property value is going to decline. That was in the 80s and 90s.
Yeah.
And so you're thinking about these appraisers who were adults then. And they still have that stuck in their mind now. It's something we covered plenty of time, a couple times on the podcast, with medical things. Like, black women will say, I'm hurt. And doctors believe black women have a higher tolerance of pain. This is the same shit repeating itself, just over in real estate, which is insane when you think about it. It makes no fucking sense.
It's basic systemic institutionalized racism.
Yeah.
A lot of people refuse to believe it's there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? A lot of people refuse to believe that's there, but it's literally embedded in the fabric of the country we live in. You just really got to address it. You know what I mean? Like, and I think a lot of people don't like to address it. And I'm not saying this to say that we have it like so much harder and we can't work our asses off to get there. But there is an underlying hurdle there.
You dealt with something yourself recently at a house, didn't you? Did I see this?
Yeah, it happens all the time. I mean, like, I've gone to homes and agents have been like, are you really a realtor? Like, show me your card. Give me your license number. Like, bro, like, I'm not doing that. Like, I don't have to. Like, like, you're not going to demand me to do this. Like, yeah, if I show a nice house, I make sure that everybody knows I'm coming, who I am, my company name, and et cetera. But if an agent is like overlapping me there, I've gotten questioned a lot.
Wow.
I mean, it happens all the time. You ask any black agent.
I totally believe it. I think it's fucking ridiculous.
You know, it's 156,000, I think, real estate agents in the country. 5.6 are black.
Wow.
So
there's a lot of inequity there.
Oh, yeah. It is. That's another reason, too, is like that I don't wear suits every day.
You know,
I wear a suit for a photo shoot and for Instagram and stuff, but I probably go show a house like this.
Right.
So they're probably like, who the hell is this dude in this $1 million house? Who is this asshole? Like, call the cops on him. But you don't know, crazy thing is, I moved into a neighborhood in Brentwood. We bought a house out there, and somebody called the police on me for driving down. I guess she didn't think that I lived there. So that happens. Stuff like that happens too all the time.
That's insane.
You get called, like, she called the police.
Wow.
I was in the house. The police came down there, knocked on her door, and was like, I was like, yeah, I live here, bro. Like, I'm not breaking in. Like, we live here. Like, my family lives here. Help.
Like, who breaks in by just opening the door and walking into their own house?
But the thing is, there's a lot of nuances like that. It happens a lot.
No, I'm sure there is. And they're still dealing with those inequities. But where do you see as far as like home ownership going for the Black community, especially with, but are there some stereotypes that you feel like when you're trying to talk somebody into buying a house, are there stereotypes there that are like, yeah, I'm not going to do this, that might or might not be true?
As in from my buyers?
From buyers, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you have people that believe that, one, that they're not ever going to get approved, right? Mm-hmm. And the crazy thing is, even speaking to that, a lot of people can get approved, right? Like, especially if you have income, and the income doesn't have to be that high. Like, for reference, you can have a 580 and get pre-approved for a loan. Some lenders even go lower than that.
Yeah, I think when I bought my first place, that condo on the river back in the day, you remember that? Mm-hmm. Which I always say real estate's been my biggest blessing, but that's the biggest mistake I ever made was selling that place, because I bought it for 110 back in like 07, and I looked online the other day. I think there's two of them going for 400 grand. Now it's like, oh my god, don't do it. Anyway, but no, I bought that house, and I think my credit score was mid sixes at the time. It wasn't what it is now, you know what I'm saying? Like, there were some definite questions about whether or not they should give me this money, but they did, and I got the crib. And
it's a lot of different variables going up pre-approval process, but as far as like real estate changing people's lives, I see it every day. Yeah. That's why I'm so adamant on people. Like, and here's another thing. A lot of real estate agents will bash people for renting. Renting is not bad.
No,
like,
there's nothing wrong with
it. Like, rent your ass off. You know what I mean? Like, rent as long as you need to, right? Like, it's nothing wrong with renting. But I'll give you a quick example. I had a buyer. She was literally living check to check. She was getting money from Advanced Financial. Like, she was, like, struggling.
Right.
She bought a house. We worked with her, like, 6 months, got her credit up. She bought a $200,000 townhome. Mm. And she sold it recently and made $130,000. Wow. Right? Just by living in it. Her mortgage was actually cheaper than her rent that she was paying where her and her son lived.
Wow.
Made 130K. She put down 40K and pocketed the rest. And now she's like on a path to, you know, open up a business. She got a nice little net there for her. And that's the benefits of it. Like, that's the benefits of real estate. That's one example. I can give you a ton, but like, that's beautiful. That's what I like doing for people. Like saying, hey, I want to take you from this. I put together plans for people. Like, tell me what you want to do. Tell me what you want to accomplish.
Right.
If your credit may not be there, we can help you. Shout out to my lender too, Arthur Blackburn. That's my guy.
Man, he's done a couple loans for me.
Yeah. Has he?
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to AJ.
He's done like two at least.
Shout out to AJ, man. AJ's my guy. AJ actually put that nugget in my head, him and Corey, about owning real estate and investing and buying investment properties. That's the key to life.
I think thing that people miss out on a lot of things, and I'm guilty of this myself, is we're all looking for like a big score.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think with like real estate, the stock market, things like that, some of those things are kind of slow grinds.
Oh, yeah.
But if you do it and you just forget about it.
Yeah. Live.
You're a couple of years, you look back and you're like, oh shit, that's 100 grand in that account. Like, where did that shit come from? You know what I'm saying? But I think we're all looking to make 100 grand tomorrow. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. We're all looking to make 7 figures tomorrow.
A lot of people are.
Time goes by quick, bro. It flies by. You know what I mean? Like, it flies by. Like, I bought that crib downtown in 2012, and to see what it's worth now. I mean, we talked about it. Beautiful. If that other house is going for that, mine is worth a lot more than what I paid for it back then. And that's 10 years, but it's flown by.
Yeah. And I mean, having a plan is actually mandatory, right?
Yeah.
Like, another thing I run into is that people want to buy their first home. They want it to look like maybe their parents' home.
Yeah.
Or they want to impress their friends. But like, you really got to put together a plan. Mm. Like, if you want the $500,000, $600,000 house, you got to buy. If you don't come from money, you got to buy the $200,000 starter home. Live in that. Possibly put a tenant in it after a year or so. Turn that property into an investment property and offset your new mortgage with that difference.
And that's the other thing is not selling those houses. Because I remember when we moved into the house we live in now, I didn't want to sell the house. And I was like, I don't think we should sell this thing. It stayed rented out for going on 5 years now. It wasn't that hard to get a mortgage to get approved to have that house and have the other one. I think I just needed a lease in place at the time. I don't know if that's still the thing now, but like, they were like, if you have a lease in place and it's for the amount for your mortgage, you're good. We're good. And I had that, and it was like, buying the new crib was nothing. You know what I mean? Like, and it actually,
it's a lease.
I actually didn't even have to put any money down on the house that we live in now, because when we refied everything, I had enough equity in that house and in the house that that we built. By the time, from start to finish, by the time it was built, we had enough equity to where the 20-25%, whatever it is, mm-hmm. was there. You know what I'm saying? So like we didn't come out of pocket for nothing.
Yeah, that's beautiful. And that's the game.
Yeah.
That's how you get ahead.
Yeah. And right? One day my daughter, unless we decide to sell and just move across seas, which I've always trying to tell my wife, I'm always trying to convince my wife to do.
I know you're going to.
She hasn't done that yet. But we if we sold both of our houses, we could do that.
Yeah.
But if we don't, we stay here in America. My daughter will inherit those houses. She can live there and she'll have a much easier life.
That's the plan. And actually, Allie found two of our homes that we have.
Wow.
So shout out to her for
that. How many do you have now?
Well, me and AJ got two in Texas.
Okay.
And I have three here.
Wow.
But we're working on one. Actually, I got a Gatlinburg cabin that I want you to possibly invest with us.
All right.
I mean, it's a hell of an investment. We'll talk about it all.
It's a big investment.
Yeah. It'd make us a lot of money.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. Absolutely. Absolutely.
But yeah, and here's another thing I wanted to say too, is with credit, I wanted to get this off, is that people need to get your credit in order high as possible, but two, add your kids on as an authorized user on your credit cards when they're like 12 years old.
Do it as young as 12?
Yeah. Okay. So you already got their social, you can do it on the app, right? Add them to an authorized user on the credit card. Mm-hmm. So that way, when they get out in the world, you want 10 years good length of credit history.
Right.
So that way, when they get out in the world, like you said, like I want to give my daughter shit, a house, a business, and an 850 credit score.
Right.
And say, hey, here, go do your best.
Right.
Right. Like, I don't know what you want to do, but go do your best.
You got a good start.
But here's your start, because that's what I feel like everybody needs. And that's going back to what we're saying. Imagine how many people could have did that after 60 years of having that kind of wealth, saying, hey, we would probably have a whole different Nashville.
Yeah.
We would have a whole different
Absolutely.
Right. That's what I want to set up for my daughter.
Yeah.
Is to say, hey, here are these three things. You go out here and make the best of your life. Because I want her to, you want your kids to be better than you.
Yeah, you want your kid. Yeah, I think now we're starting to realize that, like, I think for us, it was like, go out there and work every day, work so hard all the time, stretch yourself out. Right. And I think what we want for our kids is like, I want her to do it a little bit easier. Maybe you have some money. Maybe you can go out and you can get a job that you like.
Yeah.
And you don't have to make that much money and you can still live a pretty good life doing that job. Exactly. And I think that's what we're trying to create for our kids. And hopefully we're off to a good start. I wish I had an 850 credit score going into, I'm 43. I still don't have an 850 credit score. I remember when they gave me my first credit card when I was 18, I moved to college. The thing was probably maxed out in a month.
Oh yeah.
It was only had a $500 limit, but still.
Oh, mine too. I had a $300 limit. I bought pizza for everybody.
Yeah.
We had pizza parties at Belmont off my credit card, man. But that credit is predatory too.
Yeah, it is.
Like, how do you determine that I'm worthy of home ownership or a car or anything off of me paying somebody on time consistently when I pay my rent on time?
Right.
I know people have been renting for like 15 years, can't buy a house.
That's crazy.
That's bananas. Like, credit is crazy. That's all made up. They need to like tear that down, start over.
Yeah.
The credit system is BS.
I agree.
I hate that.
I agree. Giving to young people.
Yeah. I mean, that's predatory as hell.
Yeah.
They
knew what I was going to do with that credit card.
But that's why credit's a game. And I go speak to these kids at these schools. It's a game and you got to play the game, because if they give you $300, they expect you to spend that $300 and pay that $25 a month. If you can, I tell people too, if you got a credit card, don't spend anything you can't pay all the way off immediately.
Right.
Now, it's hard as hell to say.
Yeah, now it is.
We need that. We needed those pizzas at Belmont.
Yeah.
And I spent literally $300 in like a week. I love that. But the thing is, you're young, you grow up.
Yeah, you grow up and you eventually fix it. But it's tough because my credit was trash for a long time.
Mine was too.
If they're looking to buy a home here in Nashville, I know you're licensed all over the state of Tennessee. So give everybody everything you need, your handles, all of that.
Yeah. Shout out to the Hammonds Group too, Corey. Corey Hammonds, my mentor. Shout out to him. And my Instagram is William Basquiat. Basquiat, like the painter, who's my favorite.
You're a real estate artist.
Facts.
Yeah.
Boom. New hashtag right there. And WilliamWilsonHomes.com.
They have
WilliamWilsonHomes.com. And yeah, we got a new agent, Jonathan Nolan. We have Vita coming on. Madison is coming. We growing a team.
There you go, man. So if you're looking to buy a house in Middle Tennessee or all over Tennessee, holla at my people. This was not a 30-minute infomercial on why you should buy from my guy Will, but buy from my guy Will. You know what I mean? Hey, it's good seeing you. I'm glad you came up and did this.
Thank you, brother.
That's it. We're done.
Peace.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Cinema Anywhere Nashville. You can book your indoor or outdoor cinema experience right now, starting at only $350. Cinema Anywhere Nashville provides your choice of a 16, 24, 36, or even a 100-foot screen, plus projector setup and sound system. This is a super dope service that wouldn't just be great for corporate and work events, but also birthday and holiday parties, or if you want to have a romantic evening with your significant other, Cinema Anywhere Nashville is perfect for all of those things. They have the right experience for you. Follow them on Instagram right now at Cinema Anywhere Nashville and book your cinema experience today. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, my good friend William Wilson of William Wilson Homes. I'm not telling you to use him as a real estate agent if you're in Middle Tennessee, but if you're in Middle Tennessee and you're looking to buy a house or sell a house or do whatever with a house, you should definitely holla at my guy, Will. Even though I said I wasn't going to say what I just said, I said it anyway. Go to my good friend, William Wilson at William Wilson Homes for all your real estate needs. Follow him on the gram as well, at William Basquiat. Follow me while you got the gram open at DolaWhite101, D-O-L-E-W-I-T-E 101. Brand new episode drops in 2 weeks because, of course, next week is a holiday, so no episode. But when I come back on December 1st, I believe I finally am able to get my wife, Kenya Raymer, back for her second episode. So that will be super dope, but I can't make any promises. I know it sounds weird that it's hard for me to book my own wife on the podcast, but it's because we have a kid together and one of us always has to be with the kid. So that's why. Anyway, thank you for checking me out. Make sure you subscribe and follow, whatever the hell it's called, on whatever platform you use. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, rate and review 5 stars and something positive, that would be nice. I'm just saying, it's the holidays. Be nice to me. That's my time. Back in 2 weeks of the brand new episode. Thank you.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.